thankful. Friends, if you would, you can turn to Psalm chapter 13, if you will. That's on page 486 in the Bibles in front of you, if you want to use those. But you know, of all of the Bible personalities, David is probably the one that we can identify with the most. David was called by God to fulfill many of his purposes. David was obedient to God in many ways. David was attacked for his stand for the Lord. David experienced sin in his life that affected him and those that he loved. David was forgiven of his sins purely by the grace of God. David experienced many victories. David also experienced many defeats. David had many highs, and David knew many lows. In today's Bible verses, we find David feeling like he has reached rock bottom in his life. Listen to Psalm 13 as he shares it. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully to me. You see, the prophet Samuel had anointed David as the new king over Israel. And shortly thereafter, David killed the giant Goliath with a sling and a stone. And when David returned, the people of Israel celebrated and exalted David. I imagine David was on a pretty big spiritual high when he came back to town. But there was one big problem. The reigning king of Israel named Saul didn't like it one bit that he had been anointed new king, and he set out to kill David. When David wrote this psalm, Psalm 13, he had been running away from Saul for years, and he was almost at the end of his rope. Friends, Psalm 13 is the product of a worn-out soul. Have you ever felt like you're just plain worn out? Well, maybe you'll be able to identify today. Have you ever reached rock bottom? Have you ever reached the end of your rope in your life? If you haven't, you likely will. And if you have, you probably will again at some point in your life, if Jesus doesn't come to get us first. You see, these extremes between victory and defeat, between spiritual highs and lows, between even confidence and fear, even obedience and sin, are sadly facts of life. Everybody experiences them at some point. However, I want you to know this today. Man's extremity, the extremes, man's extremity is God's specialty. You need to remember that this morning. When we have reached the end of our rope, God is ready to begin in your life. When we have done all that we can do, and in desperation we turn to God, that's when he can do the greatest work in our lives. But listen. Before God moves in our situation, he's going to move in us. Sadly, we want God to move in our circumstances, but God wants to move in our character. And that's ultimately where we kind of fight him. We don't want the changes in our character. We just want to get out of the valley. We want God to hurry up. Get me out of this valley. But God wants to help you along as you go through the valley. We want the storm to end. But God wants to help you through your storm. We want God to hurry up and do something. We say, how long? How long is this going to last? But God says, it's your move. I'll move in this situation when you let me move in you. See, the psalm, that's what it's all about. It's about getting you and I to the place where God can move in our lives. This psalm is about getting us to the place where you and I can let go and let God. It's about getting us to the place where we learn to let God have his way in our lives. Because that's the best way in your life. And when God has his way, listen to me, you'll be able to shout in your valley. And you'll be blessed. When God has his way, we learn in Psalm 13, we notice that David's pain in the valley. The first thing that David felt in his valley was loneliness. He was incredibly lonely. Did you hear it there in verse 1? How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? See, when life throws us grief, when life throws us pain and suffering, one of the first emotions that we normally feel is this crippling loneliness. Nobody knows how I feel when I'm in this valley. But listen to me. Jesus knows exactly how you feel in your valley. In fact, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, the Bible says that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. You may remember that garden. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful. Jesus was approaching the depths of his valley. Began to be sorrowful and, listen, deeply distressed. And then he said to him, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. You ever been in that kind of valley? Even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and Jesus fell on his face, and he prayed, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering, let this valley pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then he came to the disciples, found them sleeping. Sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, Jesus went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup of suffering, this valley, if this valley cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And so he left them and went away again, and he prayed a third time, saying the same words. And then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, last week we learned what that word means. What are you prepared to do? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. What are you prepared to do about that? Although his closest disciples slept as he prepared to suffer, he still said to them, as he prepared to ascend into heaven later, I'll be with you always. And lo, I will be with you always. See, we may leave him, but the Lord never leaves you. So there's no need to feel lonely in your valley. But David also felt left. There at the end of verse 1, he said, how long will you hide your face from me? See, David felt abandoned. He felt like there was this lead weight on his chest that somebody else had put on there. See, he felt abandoned, but that wasn't true. God never left him, not the first time. See, God will not, God cannot leave his children. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, we can't always see what God is up to, but he's always at work. So I want to encourage you, even in your valley, friend, don't get impatient. God is at work. Even Jesus felt it. When he was hanging on the cross, he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus felt abandoned. But it wasn't true, for the Father was there. You can always trust that God will move in your life at the perfect time. But David also felt loaded, that same lead weight. He was carrying this burden on his chest. He had this feeling, this gnawing feeling in the pit of his stomach, and it made him feel loaded. Check it out in verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? It's like it was constant burden, constant load that he was carrying. Have you ever had one of those burdens? All day, every day, that's all you can feel is that burden on your heart. David said in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you, for he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. See, David's burden got heavy, but it was never heavier than he and God could bear. Listen, don't you let anybody tell you that God will never put on you more than you can bear. He will. He will put more on you than you alone can bear, but you will never experience more than you and God together can bear. Amen. Don't let nobody tell you that. But not only did David feel the pain of loneliness, the pain of being left, the pain of feeling that load, that burden, David also felt lower than a snake's belly. At the end of verse 2, he said, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long? See, he had gone a long while without a victory. And when you go for a long time without a victory, you start feeling defeated. That you're doing nothing right. And that you may as well just remain in this valley for the rest of your life. It's hitting rock bottom. But do you know that sometimes victory is found when you get to the rock bottom? Personally, I found victory when I got to the bottom of the pit. And I realized there was nothing more I could do. And God was going to have to do it for me. So even at your lowest, Jesus has the power to lift you up out of that valley. God told Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you cannot know. See, when you're on your knees, you're looking in the right direction. You're looking up. I encourage you to do that. For we all know that God works all things together for good to those who are loving him and who are called according to his purpose. Everything. But Psalm 13 was not only about David voicing his pain in the valley, it was also about David's plea in the valley. You see, especially in the lowest parts of your valley, it is absolutely vital, friend, that you make sure that you know that your prayers are not going unheard. You may not see the immediate response, but God is hearing the prayers of his children. Proverbs 15:24 tells us, "For the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." Now, this is probably a good time to remind you that you're not righteous because of anything you've done. The only reason you're righteous is because Jesus died for you on the cross to purchase that righteousness for you. We were made righteous. We have a right standing with God that comes only through Jesus Christ. Remember, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, David knew in his valley, he knew that he had an audience of one. There in verse 3, at the very beginning, David said, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God." You see, God is always listening to you. He's always listening, and if you're not getting an immediate response, then you may want to consider that it might be a faith problem in your heart. Something may need to change in your life. You see, even if you can't feel him, he's always near. He's always near, especially for the believer. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he might draw near to you." Is that what it says? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He said to Isaiah in Isaiah 65:24, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear." You see, David knew that God hears his children. But David also knew that he would receive an answer. Did you see it there at the middle of verse 3? "Enlighten my eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. Teach me." You see, not only will God hear us, but every time God will answer us. It may not be the answer you expected. It may not be the answer you want. But God answers every time. And if the answers aren't coming fast enough for you, consider these three things. Are you praying with a right heart? Have you confessed all known sin to God? See, we don't confess necessarily to one another. We don't confess to a priest. We confess to our high priest, Jesus. Amen. Have you confessed what sin you know? Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord ain't going to hear. The Lord will not hear." So you got to get it out of the way. Are you praying with the right heart? Are you praying the right way? The right way. Are you praying for God's glory or your glory? For his benefit or for your benefit? How are you praying? Jesus said in John 14, "Whatever you ask," listen to me, "in my name, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything," again, "in my name, I'll do it." That's the right way to pray, is in the name of Jesus. Why? Because if you're praying in his name, you're praying the third way, and that is you're praying with the right motives. Not only the right heart, not only the right way, but you're praying with the right motives. John said in 1 John 5:14, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything," say anything, "anything according to his will," according to his will, "he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him." Are you praying the right with the right heart? Are you praying the right way? Are you praying with the right motives? Friend, our biggest problem is that we just don't ask. And if we do ask, we often ask, but not according to the will of God. We want it. We want to get out of the valley ourselves. Most of the times when I want out of the valley, I'm praying a very self-centered prayer. I want out of here, God. Get me out of this valley. That's not necessarily praying according to the will of God, is it? Because there might be great things that God wants to do in me in the valley. In the valley. Pray according to the will of God. I mean, we have a God who can answer prayers beyond our wildest dreams when we pray according to his will. Paul told the Ephesian believers, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine, for those who know the power that works through us. He told the Corinthians, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the things which God wants to do for those who love him. Woo! That's a powerful guy, y'all. See, in his valley, David knew he had an audience of one and that he would receive an answer from that one. But David also acknowledged that there was an alternative. Notice there at the end of verse 3, he said, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say as I prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. See, David is basically saying this. If God doesn't move in my valley, I am doomed. If God doesn't move in me, in my valley, the enemy's going to be victorious over me. And listen. Listen, God will never, ever let the devil win. He'll never win. Oh, he may win a skirmish. He may win a little battle here and there, but he ain't winning the war in your life, amen? He'll never win. Just as David did in his valley, we ought to do in our valley. We just got to trust God and watch him do great miracles. David wrote in Psalm chapter 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Are you hearing the action here? David's putting together an action plan. He said, okay, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to dwell in his faithfulness. I'm going to delight myself in him. I'm going to commit to his way and I'm going to trust in him. For I know that he will bring it to pass. David was ready for action. You see, if you want to shout in your valley, you need to acknowledge your pain. If you want to shout in your valley, you need to be able to lift up your plea to the one who can do something about it. But if you want to shout in your valley, you better work on a plan, an action plan to get your tail out of that valley. And here's what David did. I believe this is what we should do too. First, David chose. Now that's important right there. David chose to rely on the Lord. He had a choice. He could trust in himself. He could trust in worldly things. Or he could trust and rely on the Lord. Notice at the beginning of verse 5, he said, but I have trusted in your mercy. See, while in his valley, David made a choice. He decided that he was going to back down, he was going to back out, and he was going to let God take care of his valley. In other words, David decided, I'm just going to trust God. I don't like being in this valley, but I'm going to trust him while I'm here. And while that should certainly speak to us, we have the added benefit of knowing Jesus Christ. We have the added benefit of having the Spirit of God reside in us. David didn't have Jesus, and he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. Now, one characteristic of the valley that makes it so doggone difficult to deal with is it just takes everything out of you. You're in the valley, and you just feel zapped all the time. You're in your valley and you have no energy and eventually you got no desire to even get out of the valley. It's like you find comfort being in that valley. But Jesus says to us, come to me. Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, even when you're in the valley. And Mark said it this way in Mark chapter 11. Peter, remembering what Jesus had said, said, Rabbi, look, that fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you'll receive them, and you will have them. David made a choice to rely on God. But he also made a choice that he said, you know what? While I'm here in this valley, while I'm here in this pit, I'm going to trust God, but I'm also going to rejoice in God. Now, this don't make sense to us when we're in the valley. But listen to what David said at the middle of verse 5. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. So David was singing right there in the midst of his valley. Even in the valley, David made a choice. He was going to praise God anyway. Praise God anyway. David took his own encouragement to heart in Psalm 5 when he said, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them even shout for joy. Shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful to you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Even when you're in your valley and it's dark and it's painful and it's lonely and you feel loaded, just rejoice anyway. Friend, the Lord is our true source of joy. So when you have nothing else to praise God for, when you find yourself in the depths of that valley, friend, when there's nothing going your way, you recall the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, when he said, hey, you can rejoice because your name is written in heaven. There's always a great reason to rejoice, even in our valley. Friend, even in the midst of your storm, just praise God anyway. It'll make the devil mad, and ultimately it'll make you glad. Amen? Praise God anyway. Rejoice in him. You can't change it on your own, so you may as well let God handle it because he's already working on it. Let God handle it. David chose, made a crystal clear choice to rely on God and then to rejoice in the Lord. But David also chose to remember how good God had been to him. The last part of verse 6 there says, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Man, even when I'm in the valley, just remembering how good God has been to me all my life, that should give us reason to rejoice. David praised not because he was enjoying his time in the valley. He rejoiced because God had been so incredibly good to him all his life. So when you get overwhelmed in your valley, I want to encourage you to try to look beyond the immediate. Try, friend, to see the bigger picture. Try, friend, to remember the lengths that God has taken to pour out his goodness on you, to pour out his grace on you. Just consider all the good that God has done for you. And when you're in those shallow valleys, because sometimes there's deep, deep valleys, but sometimes there's shallow valleys. In those shallow valleys, friend, ask yourself, will this matter a year from now? Some things in the deep valleys, they do matter a year from now. But many of the valleys that we go through, they don't. And there's comfort in that. This is not even going to matter a year from now. David wrote in Psalm 4:7, you, Lord, have put gladness in my heart. Take encouragement, friend. You can have gladness in your heart while going through one of the darkest times in his life, running for his life. David acknowledged his pain in the valley. David made his plea to God while in the valley. And David established a plan to get his tail out of the valley. He was going to rely on God. He was going to rejoice in the Lord. And he was going to remember all the great things that God had done for him. You see, sadly, with this life also comes tragedy. With this life also comes sickness. With this life also comes sadness and frustration. With this life also comes a lot of valleys, ups and downs, victories and defeats. Thankfully, this life ain't all there is. Come on now. This life ain't all there is. You see, the body you're living in? The body you're living in, friend, is only temporary. You, heard that, you will live on eternally somewhere. But the choice is yours. Where do you spend eternity? And this choice, man, it's stark. Because you can either choose a dark, dry, fiery place called hell that is completely and eternally separated from our Creator God. You can choose that if you want. Or you can choose an amazing, joyful, sinless dwelling place of God eternally in the presence of our Creator, redeemed, sanctified, and a place that's prepared for you and I who have faith in Jesus Christ. We were talking about heaven Wednesday, and it's always interesting when you start talking to kids about heaven. Rhett Phillips told me that heaven is eternal life over at God's place. I like that. Eternal life over at God's place. But it's a prepared place for those who are prepared. The question for you this morning is, are you prepared for eternity? A dark, fiery place? Or a joyful, sinless place? Eternal life over at God's place. See, friend, you can leave here today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt where you're going to spend eternity. You don't have to leave here not knowing. That's the whole good news of Jesus. That through his death, burial, and resurrection, we can make the choice to spend eternity at God's place. And when you get hit by the valley in this life, you can make that choice to rely on God, to rejoice in the Lord, and to remember all the good that he has done in your life. When that happens, you can shout in your valley. Amen. Shout in your valley. The devil can't come against you anymore. Because you're trusting in God. Where you spend an eternity, you consider that as I pray. Father God, thank you for giving us a choice. Lord, thank you for giving us an alternative from where we were headed. Because every person in this room was headed to the same place before Jesus came. And now we have a choice. Can we receive him as our own and therefore be counted as children of God? Yes. How do you do it? By placing our faith in Jesus, counting him as the Lord of our life, believing that you raised him from the dead 3 days after he was buried. Father, in a message like this, surely you have spoken to each one of us. Lord, I pray that we would take the truth of this message, lodge it in our own hearts first, and make the decisions that need to be made for your glory. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for Jesus, especially when we're in our valley. Thank you for giving us the possibility, the strength, the ability to shout in our valley. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
Amen. Amen.